It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility. So book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. It's Monday, brand new week, a brand new set of challenges, more talk of impeachment. It's just absolutely amazing. Kevin Wall with you, the program live and local now, and Michael Schaus joining us from NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute, now known as Nevada Policy, in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
I tell you, a brand new week, and that means more from the Sunday shows. It's just absolutely bizarre what's going on. Let me just ask you, all this talk of impeachment, is it premature?
Yeah, I'd have to say so. There hasn't really been what I would classify as a high crime or a misdemeanor worthy of impeachment. It's also amazing to me how quickly we've moved from saying, hey, there was collusion with Russia, to now, hey, we think you might have paid some women to stay quiet about some things, so we still want to impeach you.
Well, and the question I would bring up, it would be my first question in a deposition of the president or his people, is have you done this before? I mean, and why did you do it? To protect your business? To protect your brand? And if the answer was, yeah, that's pretty much it, then you'd go, well, how's this different?
Yeah, and also it raises a lot of, I don't know, it raises a lot of questions in as much as look at the swampiness that is politics today. Do you really think that there's a politician out there who hasn't done something that would be considered, defrauding voters? I mean, they lie to us every single day. So it's almost as if they're making up a violation of the law here. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see how everything plays out. We'll see all the facts as they're presented. It's amazing to me, again, how they have not been able to prove anything that they originally said when they started the entire, what he's calling a witch hunt. The entire objective of that was to find out that he was, colluding with Vladimir Putin. And that never has played out, but they've thrown everything else, including the kitchen sink, at him.
And if indeed that is the standard that you use, we should have impeached Obama 4 times over. If you like your health care, you can keep your health care. $2,500 per family that you're going to get back from the government as a result of Obamacare. On and on. I mean, just the promises that were made and not kept, then maybe that's an impeachable offense now. I don't know. Maybe we've changed the standard.
I really hate giving advice to people that I don't agree with ideologically, but I still do it all the time, okay? So all of the liberals, all the progressives, all of the democratic socialists, or whatever you want to call yourself out there, I've been saying this from the beginning. Stop getting so outraged at every single little thing about Trump. If you were to just sit back and relax, The guy's got a very loud mouth. He's got a Twitter account that he says everything. Sooner or later, you would have a reasonable, you'd have an actual reason to be upset and maybe motivate people. At this point, I can almost guarantee you most of America is tuning this out. They don't even care about it. They've been hearing so much outrage for so long that the average American probably heard something about possible impeachment and they rolled their eyes and moved on with their daily life. So
no, I like that. I like that. The way you put that is exactly right. Now the question is, though, with Democrats taking control of the House, I think it's inevitable. Will they find 218 votes for impeachment? I don't know. Maybe they will. There are some. Angus King was on Meet the Press yesterday. He's a senator. He's an independent, but he caucuses with the Democrats. And he says it hasn't risen to the level of impeachment yet. That impeachment is something that you do as a last resort, and that this is not it. Whatever they found so far, in his view, it's not it.
Yeah, I think there's a certain number of Democrats out there who are looking at this. They're having flashbacks to Harry Reid changing the filibuster rule. They realize that if they go forward with this, they're not going to be the only ones who ever do this trick. And you know, I heard your last segment. That was a very legitimate point that he brought up. If all of a sudden impeachment is used as a tool for a minority party to try to oust the president, that's a very, very dangerous precedent. And it's something that we're not designed, our government's not designed to operate that way. They are supposed to be three independent branches of government. You've got the legislature, the executive, and then the judicial, obviously. And it's just, it's worrisome that they are going to try to walk down that road. I think you're going to have some, the Ocasio-Cortezes of the world, they're going to be anxious to do it. I'm hoping that you've got a reasonable number of mainstream Democrats who say, no, we don't want this to come back.
And if there is a silver lining here, it's that all of those people in the House have to run in less than 2 years.
Yes. And I don't think,
a lot of them in Trump districts.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think the circus of an impeachment proceeding is going to be good for anybody. I don't think it would be great for presidents. Republicans might get outraged by it. But I don't think it'd be good for Democrats either. People want actual solutions from D.C. They don't want more political theater. And that's all an impeachment proceeding is.
Okay. There's been good news. There's been bad news. Okay, let's go to the good news. The good news is you won your lawsuit. NPRI won its lawsuit relative to PERS.
Yes.
And getting information and FOIA and all of this stuff. The bad news is that they want to appeal it to the state Supreme Court.
Yeah, this is something that amazes me. And this is one of those outside of the policy world, nobody would ever think this way. If I was to tell a normal person, hey, we took our case all the way up to the state Supreme Court, Nevada Supreme Court, highest court it can go to because it's not a federal issue. And we still aren't getting the records. Most people would be floored by that. All we were asking for was names and payout amounts for public employee retirees. Still don't have that. And in fact, the PERS board just voted to go ahead and petition the Supreme Court for a rehearing. They want the Supreme Court to rehear the case that they already heard. It's mostly a delay tactic. We'll see what the court ends up deciding. Obviously, we filed our response. But it's just absurd to me the way that they will not comply with what every single court that this case has been.
But you've already been to the state Supreme Court, right?
We have. So normally, under normal rules, you can petition the court to rehear a case if you find that they had a factual error. So, for example, you realize that maybe somebody flat out lied during testimony, or they didn't take into account a certain provision in the Nevada state constitution, or something like that would be a factual error. PERS has not identified any factual errors. All they did was reword the exact same argument that they've been using for the last 4 years, and they're putting it forward. It's mind-boggling, and it's very frustrating. The more important thing is, okay, we can fight it because we're NPRI. The average person, if you were trying to get information from PERS or any other government agency, can you afford a four-year legal battle with the government? Of course
not.
Nobody
can.
Yeah, so you know, in that sense, the transparency laws that we have in the state, they're very good. But they're relatively meaningless if you don't have a government that's willing to follow them.
More coming up. We're talking about our state. In the case of PERS, we're talking about a lot of yours future retirement. And Michael Schaus is trying to shed some light on it. He's the communications director of NPRI. We'll talk more with him about that. And about the road forward in our state, we've got another legislative session coming up in February. We still don't know for sure who's going to represent District 36. That's the Dennis Hoff district. That may end up in litigation. There's a hearing on the 17th of December for that. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. Live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Why do politics matter? Well, because ideas matter. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy, and Nevada Policy, we're focused on those ideas, not politics. Politics are about parties, lawmakers, it's about grandstanding. Ideas, however, are about empowering people and finding solutions. After all, to a parent, an idea such as school choice is not political, it's personal. To taxpayers, the idea of government transparency is not political, it's about ensuring confidence in our public institutions. Ideas like these are what will make a difference in Nevada, regardless of what political parties are running games in Carson City. We won't be able to stop every bad policy dreamt up by the newly elected legislature, nor will we be able to will into existence all the good ones, but we can make sure that the ideas that actually matter to Nevadans have someone fighting for them. Find out what we're fighting for at Nevada Policy. Visit NevadaPolicy.org today and sign up to stay informed during next year's legislative session. Let's make sure the right ideas have a voice when lawmakers meet in 2019. Visit NevadaPolicy.org.
For many employers seeking benefits, it's decision time. This is Pat Casal. I'm with the MultiCare Group, and I'm excited. If you own or operate a business, or if you're head up an HR department, there's a lot of confusion out there when it comes to your employees' healthcare choices. Let us at the MultiCare Group help you navigate the myriad of healthcare options for you and your coworkers. For instance, right now we can offer small groups association health plans. This is an opportunity for you to buy a plan using the various chambers and get a multi-year rate lock. Very important, rate stability for the first time in 5 years. I'm talking about PPO plans with national access to providers, the ability to offer multiple options to your employees while providing the employer with many ways to limit their exposure. For more information, call Patrick Casal at the MultiCare Group. My cell number is 702-286-1014. That's 702-286-1014. Or try the office 396-9449. Give us a call today and see where your options lie and how you may be able to offer quality benefits.
Have you ever dreamed of joining the exciting world of broadcasting? I'm talking about 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks. Right now, 790 Talk Now is expanding. We're seeking motivated self-starters with radio production experience and an interest in producing compelling talk radio shows like Live and Local Now and Wayne Allen Root's War Now. These are paid positions for real money. If you want to be part of our 790 Talk Now team, call Debbie at 760-851-9447. That's 760-851-9447. 851-9447.
Roberto Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's Live and Local Now. We are getting ready for another session of the Nevada legislature. Does this become the 80th? I want to say this. There was the 78th and the 70th, so that would be,
yeah,
I think
this
80th.
Is the 80th.
80th Nevada legislature. And we know that Steve Sisolak, the governor-elect, said all taxes are on the table.
Yep.
And it was in every campaign ad that I saw for Laxalt. What do you make of this? And I know NPRI, you're going to be providing all kinds of great coverage daily about what's going on in Carson City. Is that going to be what this is going to be about, increasing everybody's taxes?
That's going to be a huge part of it. I mean, Steve Sisolak said, to his credit, that he doesn't want to raise anybody's taxes. Okay, he might not want to, but based off of the budget that he's, you know, the things he's talked about, I mean, collective bargaining for all state employees in addition to local employees. He's been talking about various education programs and more money here and there and there. Based on all that, there's no way he can fund all of that without some sort of a tax increase, without some sort of new revenue. Growth alone is not going to cover any of that. So yeah, you're going to see a lot of fights about taxes. I'm sure commerce tax rates are going to be up for discussion. Property taxes are going to be discussed quite a bit. And that one really scares me. The property tax issue is one that really scares me because I look across the nation, look at Chicago, for example, and because they have local property taxes on top of state property taxes, some people are paying more for their property taxes per month than they are for their mortgage. And that is a terrifying prospect. So there are going to be a lot of tax fights that we got to keep our eye on and push back on. We won't be able to stop all of them, but I think some of the worst ones we can.
What can Republicans do? They are in a super minority in the Assembly. They are in a decided minority in the state Senate. What is it they can do?
Well, here's the good news. Republicans are much better as a party when they're in the minority because they actually act principled almost. So there's some chance that they're going to be standing up. They're going to be a whole lot more unified. They're going to be a whole lot more opposed to these things in mass. The biggest thing that they can do, though, is find these areas of opportunity where they can actually work with Democrats. For example, transparency issue, criminal justice issues, civil asset forfeiture is a big one, occupational licensing. These all sound like boring things, but they are all things that have very, very broad bipartisan support. If Republicans are able to work with Democrats on some of those issues, they can broker deals when it comes to some of these taxes and say, look, we don't want to raise property taxes. Find a different way to find revenue. Again, you're not going to be able to end or kill all the bad ideas up there. But if you are willing to find some of those key areas of common interest and really put your focus there, you can build some goodwill where the Democrats, especially Steve Sisolak, might actually listen to you.
Again, Michael Shouse joining us. He is the communications director for NPRI. Who are some of the Republican players in the legislature that can have an impact? Or is it a matter of they're nothing more than potted plants?
Well, you know, unfortunately, just because they are in such a minority, there's not... If it was much closer, you could point to some key specific people and say, these guys are really capable of whipping up the votes. Right now, you know, they can all vote together, and you still aren't going to be able to stop a whole lot of things. So I think the biggest thing that it's going to come down to is just seeing who's willing to actually stand up. If one or two Republicans end up caving on some of these taxes, we're going to have new taxes. Look at last legislative session. Who did we see? We saw three Republicans who decided to go ahead and allow ESAs to be killed. And in that case, we didn't even have the same minority that we have now. It might only take one or two Republicans to cave on something like property taxes and really cause harm to your pocketbook.
Is there an issue or two issues or three issues that you think there may be common ground with Democrats on?
I think that there are four key ones. You know, the big one, criminal justice reform, is very broad. It's sweeping. The part that I'm most interested about there is civil asset forfeiture, this idea that authorities can come in, seize your property, and not even charge you with a crime. That's scary stuff, and it's been abused before, so I think both Republicans and Democrats would like to see that reformed. Occupational licensing. This sounds boring, but I'll give you an example. If you want to be an interior decorator in this state, you have to get a license from the state. You have to be licensed to tell people whether their curtains match their chaise lounge. It's unreal. So cleaning
Now, honestly, it sounds like an excuse to get into your pocket.
It absolutely is. And the most detrimental part of it is most of these occupations that need a licensure, or have a licensure requirement are things like barber, hairdresser, cosmetology.
Not exactly life-threatening pursuits.
And also, they're pursuits where mostly you have low-income folks trying to get into the business. So what sense does it make to have that low-income person pay $2,600 or $20,000 and spend 4 years apprenticing? That makes no sense. Let's make it easier for people to find jobs. That's something that both sides can agree on. Education scholarships, we've talked a lot about those. There seems to actually be growing support among Democrats for that. So that's a possibility. And transparency issues. I think, you know, we always get hung up. I want less spending in government. A lot of Democrats want more spending in government. But at the very least, even if we're spending more on government, we should know how we're spending that money. And a lot of Democrats seem to feel that way.
Let me just ask you, are there some issues where you will be able to, I know this sounds bizarre, but work with Democrats where NPRI will be working with Democrats? Is it possible?
Yeah, it is actually. Transparency issue is the first one that comes to mind because we've already reached out to some Democrats and some left-leaning groups, a lot of left-leaning groups, actually, some very prominent ones. I'm not going to name all of them. I don't know if they want to be associated with me, but they have already come forward and said, yes, we want to help you with this because we know that it's important regardless of your political views on how big government should be. We need to make sure that government is accountable. So
it'll be fascinating to see what happens. You're fairly certain that with a Democrat governor, that Democrats can do just about anything they want?
Well, this is the part that scares me about next session. If this was a normal year, if we lived in normal times and we weren't talking about Donald Trump and everything else, yeah, it would be upsetting that we've got a lot of big government people up in office. But I'd really mostly be worried about taxes and then move on in life. As it is right now, they've spent so many years, the Democrat Party in general has spent so many years really playing to some of the further left elements, and the right has been doing this as well. As a result, I'm afraid that next session is going to come along and they're going to say just crazy things like, let's ban plastic bags, let's get rid of all assault weapons. They're going to check off as many
Everything that's from California.
Yeah, they're going to look at their dream list and say, how much of this stuff can we get done in the next few months? And that's something that worries me because I'm afraid Republicans and conservatives will be going in so many different directions all at once, they're not actually going to be able to effectively create change.
Can you stick around?
Absolutely.
Michael Shouse joining us. He is the communications director for the Nevada Policy Research Institute. What is ahead in the coming year for NPRI? We'll talk about that. What are some of the issues they're going to be addressing? We'll talk about that as well as we continue. It is Alive and Local Now. One thing we will get into, and this is what happens next for some of the players. And I'm talking about Governor Sandoval, some of the Republicans that were turned out, Michael Roberson, people like that. What happens next for them? We'll do that and more coming up. My name is Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us. It is Live and Local Now. We are your statewide program of record all across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's called Live and Local Now. Michael Shouse joining us, communications director for Nevada Policy, and he joins us. I know that you folks are into so many different things, Transparent Nevada. You've got publications. You do position papers. You file legal briefs. Nevada Policy has become really a powerful organization within this state. And I'm curious, as you look ahead to 2019, are there any is there anything on your plate that you're looking at that you guys are going to be delving into?
Yeah, I mean, we have a handful of issues that we really care about for the session, things that we think we can actually accomplish and get done, and yes, work with Democrats and Republicans alike. That aside, there are a lot of little things that we're going to be doing that I'm really looking forward to. So first of all, if people go to npri.org, sign up for our email, during the session, we're going to have a bill tracker. So we're going to put together a spreadsheet that shows the bills that we care about the most, things tax bills that come up that are going to have direct impact, education bills, things like that, things that we think really need to have attention paid to, and we're going to be updating that every single week. So if you want to stay very much in the loop, you can sign up for emails and just stay on top of things. Because ultimately what it takes, one of the reasons why I really like Nevada, we're still a small enough state that if a handful of people call their legislator, that actually means something. Regardless of whether or not your legislator is left or right, Democrat or Republican, most people who are serving the legislature just don't have very many people call them. So if all of a sudden 12 parents call and say, hey, we need school choice, that makes a huge difference. And it really moves the needle more so than it does in other states. So it's really up to the grassroots and individuals being there who are able to get more involved. And we want to be that tool to help them become more involved.
You know, you've talked about transparency. As a commission chairman, Steve Sisolak, was he into transparency?
Yeah, this is one of the nice things about being a policy shop rather than a political shop is we've got weird Venn diagrams going on where all of a sudden people who don't agree with us on most things agree with us on some things. And that's definitely the case here with Steve Sisolak. He was really good when it came to transparency. There was abuse among firefighters when it came to how they were structuring their overtime. He identified that. He saw it. He was upset about it. And he really fought to end that abuse and that corruption. And that took a lot of work because he was getting death threats. You know, the union was completely against him on that, and yet he stood strong and said, no, we need to be transparent about the way we're spending our dollars, and we need to root out abuse and corruption. So there are issues related to transparency where he has been very good historically. We'll see how that stands up with, you know, the current legislative makeup, but historically he's been very good on it.
I know that NPRI has been working, they've been at the forefront of work on special education. Can you talk a little bit about where that is, where we stand on that?
Yeah, this is one of those issues. We identified, and I mean, the RJ has done some incredible work really rooting into it, looking at the systematic abuse of special needs kids. And there are a few things that we noticed. First of all, CCSD, as it turns out, really does not like whistleblowers. Good teachers who are trying to do the right thing and help fix the situation are often punished by the district because the district has an incentive to make sure that nobody knows there's any problem going on. And also financially, the whole system is really relatively unsustainable for the district. It's just massively expensive, and they're not good at managing it. So one of the things that we're looking at is, all right, let's make sure that we actually make this money for that specific child. If a child has special needs, let's put them in that educational environment that's best for them, regardless of whether it's a public school, private school, charter school, some other sort of special school.
So it's like ESAs for special needs.
Exactly. And this is how ESA started in Arizona and in Florida and various places. And it's worked tremendously well because it saves the district money. Educating a special needs child is already very, very expensive. When all of a sudden you have a class of, say, six or seven of them, that becomes a massive, complicated bureaucratic mess. So being able to say, hey, let's make sure that this child has an environment that fits them the best, that's something that we think we've got Democrat support on, at least in the concept.
We had a mom on the program, a mom of two special needs children, one of her kids got in trouble. And in fact, has had charges filed against him, against the child, an 11-year-old, now a 12-year-old child. We know that what the district is doing is flawed. The question is there the will to actually, the will and the money maybe, to actually change how we do things with special needs kids in the Clark County School District?
Not with the way that the system is currently structured. I mean, the problem is that the system, the incentives are all completely backwards, and the system itself is just set up for failure. Again, good teachers who want to do well for their students are basically punished for communicating with parents, because if the parents feel like something's wrong and bring it to the attention of the school, all of a sudden the school might have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to fix something. And there's just not really any checks or balances. It kind of is a dictatorship over there. If the school doesn't want to fix something, they don't. So really what we need to do is put the power back in the hands of teachers on you know, the front lines, make sure that they have the freedom and the ability to report abuse or corruption, and most importantly, give power back to the parents. If a parent doesn't feel like a school is treating their special needs child very, very well, they should have the freedom to move somewhere else without having to pack up their house and move to a different part of the valley or a different part of the state.
Let me just ask you, as long as we're talking about education, and with Democrats coming into play, are ESAs officially still dead?
Well, I don't think ESAs are going to get funding, if that's the question here. I mean, it just seems very, very unlikely because Democrats have not gotten behind this idea, mostly because the teachers' unions have not gotten behind this idea. That being said, the opportunity tax scholarships does seem like a glimmer of hope. Democrats, a handful of Democrats, voted for them or for the one-time increase in funding last session.
$20 million.
Exactly. Yeah. And right now, that $20 million is going to go away. So it's going to go back down to about $6 million. Now, that means that you've got thousands of kids who are literally going to have their scholarships ripped out of their hands if this funding is not continued. And I don't think Democrats want that. And I know that the teachers' unions say there are probably bigger issues that we have to worry about right now. So they're probably going to be pushing for more funding and just kind of let the opportunity tax scholarship thing go on as needed. Hopefully that's the case, because we're talking about low-income kids who are getting a better shot at life. We can't end that. We have to make sure that that moves forward.
And Jesus Jara, the new superintendent of schools, I guess a lot of people would say, well, it's too early to really tell. But has he made any changes that you've noticed? Is there anything that's really noticeable that sticks out?
You know, not yet, but that being said, you know, I've got other team members who are really starting to dig into some of this stuff, and we'll see how things go. My bottom line, I'm a little bit of a cynic. I don't like it when government does things anyway, because I never really think that they do things well. And that doesn't matter if we're talking about the local school district or we're talking about the Pentagon. I just feel like they waste our money and they don't do the job as effectively as they should. So from our perspective, public education kind of is what it is. What we really need, since I don't think we can fix the system of public education as it is right now, we need to make sure that people have some sort of an alternative, especially when we're talking about families that don't have the financial means to do it on their own. Low-income families, families with children who are special needs, these are families that, A, they're the most vulnerable in the state, and B, they don't have the resources in their bank account to seek other options or alternatives. So that's where we need to step in and say, let's make sure that we give them those alternatives.
You traveling for the holidays?
I am. We're going to go see some family. We've got now she's 3 months old.
Over the river and through the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a 3-month-old baby, and of course, everybody in the family wants to see her.
Oh, yeah.
So got to go show her off, and yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Have you told your family about Facebook?
We have. We actually did Skype.
They want something more than Facebook?
Yeah, they want to hold the baby. God. You know, apparently they want to hold the baby.
Oh, my God. I just absolutely love that. Well, hey, safe travels, my friend. And thanks so much. Always good. We love working with NPRI because we know that you're making a difference out there. You and John Zarpolis and your entire crew out there, you do such a great job. And we look forward to working with you a whole bunch during the next year and being a part of the legislature. The legislature's session that begins in February, you guys are going to have a regular place on our show. So, yeah. Thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, happy holidays and have a great time.
Yeah, we will. You know, next year is going to be busy. It's going to be quick pace too. So, yeah, relax over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Indeed, that is Michael Schaus from NPRI joining us. Coming up, what you missed on the Sunday shows. And you're not going to believe this. There's some unbelievable stuff we're going to bring you in our next segment as we continue. It is live and local now. It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility. So book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
I recently Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal, and boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest-growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, a social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016, or check them out at skclv.com.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Roberto Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Mexico, there was a phrase we used to say after enjoying a wonderful meal. Fabuloso! That's what best describes the authentic Mexican dishes prepared at Roberto's. Choose from over 100 family recipes. You see, Roberto's uses only the finest and freshest ingredients available.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Ah, it's going to be a glorious day.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Live and local now. We promise you every Monday that we will look after the Sunday chat shows, the talk shows on Sunday morning, so that you can do what you want to do on Sunday morning. You want to go to church? That's fine. You want to sleep in? That's fine. We don't make you get up and watch the Sunday shows. We watch them. We pull the best clips out. And we bring them to you every Monday. For instance, Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio was on with Martha Raddatz. Remember, she was the one that cried on election night. When Donald J. Trump was elected president, cried. Broke down in tears. Yeah. Marco Rubio was on with her on George Stephanopoulos and This Week. And admitted that Trump should probably think twice before issuing pardons. I think there will be pardons, and I think I think he'll be able to justify them. And maybe he'll justify them before the election and run on the pardons. But Marco Rubio is warning him against that.
I believe it'd be a terrible mistake. You know, pardons should be used judiciously. They're used for cases with extraordinary circumstances. And I haven't heard that the White House is thinking about doing it. I know he hasn't ruled it out, but I haven't heard anyone say we're thinking about doing it. I would advise strongly against it. It would be a terrible mistake. I would not be supportive of it. I would be critical of it. I don't believe that any pardons should be used with relation to these particular cases. Frankly, it not only does it not pass the smell test, I think it undermines the reason why we have presidential pardons in the first place. And I think, in fact, if something like that were to happen, it could trigger a debate about whether the pardon powers should be amended given these circumstances.
I think that would be a stretch. The pardon powers are in there for a reason. It is a check and a balance. You know, they always talk about checks and balances. We need checks and balances. We need to make sure that the executive branch doesn't go overboard. Well, we need to do that with the judicial branch of government and with the legislative branch of government. Everybody needs to be checking each other. And that's what the pardons are all about. If the legislative branch want to punish a president simply because the people elected him, then that's wrong. For instance, James Comey, everybody talks about James Comey and how he abused his office as director of the FBI. Let's go to cut eight real quick. By the way, Megan Barth will join us top of the hour. We'll find out what she's up to. And she's been traveling back and forth to New York and Washington and has been traveling. We'll talk about what she's been up to. But James Comey was interviewed yesterday by Nicole Wallace from MSNBC. And I want you to listen to his explanation, because he says that it is highly possible that Trump could be indicted on the day he leaves office. He could be under federal indictment.
Is the president of the United States right now an unindicted co-conspirator?
I don't know. Not in the formal sense that he's been named in an indictment, where you can actually say that this defendant and named others or others by pseudonym conspired together, and that's how you formally name someone as an unindicted co-conspirator. But if he's not there, he's certainly close, given the language in the indictment, in the filing, that the crimes are committed at his direction. Or it could have gotten stronger. Can't
so
say.
If Trump wasn't the president and someone went to court in the Southern District of New York, sponsored information that they directed a crime, what would happen to that person?
Well, that person would be in serious jeopardy of being charged, because the government wouldn't make that sponsoring allegation if they weren't seriously contemplating going forward with criminal charges. Now, where it stands here, I can't say.
A quick thought, and you tell me if I'm wrong on this. James Comey, I think James Comey is going to have some legal troubles of his own. And it would not surprise me a bit if the U.S. Senate, controlled by Republicans, doesn't demand that he come back and testify before them after the first of the year. I just think it's going to happen. Now, the other issue that came up on the Sunday shows yesterday, and that was the impending departure of John Kelly, General John Kelly, as chief of staff. It was announced over the weekend, Saturday morning. I think he announced that to the media as he was getting on his helicopter, Marine One. He was on, who was this? This was Larry Kudlow. Was on with Chris Wallace yesterday on Fox News Sunday. And while this may have been a shock to some, it was not a shock to most that General John Kelly is stepping down as chief of staff. This was Larry Kudlow. He is the head of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. He was not, he didn't seem terribly surprised. This is cut five, by the way. Here is Larry Kudlow from the President's Council of Economic Advisors.
Well, look, it's been a long 2 years for the chief, General Kelly. You know, he ran Homeland Security and has been running the White House staff. I think, by the way, he's been a very good chief, very orderly processes in the White House. As you know, it's not an easy thing to do. General Kelly is a remarkable patriot. He has given such phenomenal service to this country. Perhaps it is time for a rest. President Trump, at our senior staff Christmas dinner Friday night, had some wonderful complimentary things to say about the chief. I heartily concur. So I suppose it's time to move on.
Well, let me ask you two more quick questions. One, did Kelly resign or was he forced out?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest. I think it was very amicable. All right. That's what I understand. You know, again, the president's saying good things about the chief. I've been in so many meetings. I mean, just so many meetings in my tenure, a little less than a year now. I think a lot of the gossip is just wrong. I think they did get along. Everybody's going to have disagreements. That's the way life works. But was he fired? I don't think he was fired. I wasn't privy to that final conversation. But the president's had great things to say about him.
What do you think of Nick Ayers?
Well, obviously, Nick Ayers was going to be a candidate, but apparently, and by the way, he is currently the chief of staff for Vice President Pence, but he said he doesn't want the big job. He doesn't want the presidential one, that he only wants to stay for another year, and they wanted a two-year commitment, and they just could not agree on terms. So Nick Ayers is not going to be the heir apparent. And that's fine. That's fine. Mark Meadows is the latest guy. I'm serious. Maybe we'll hear something about that coming up in just about 2 minutes from now on the hourly news. Maybe there's going to be movement there. But apparently Mark Meadows, the head of the Freedom Caucus, member of Congress from, I believe, North Carolina, could be wrong on that, but I think it's North Carolina, is now the new leading candidate to be the chief of staff at the White House. It would mean he wouldn't have to run for re-election again. Unless he wants to run for higher office. Stick around. We got a whole bunch to do. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, RedWaveAmerica.com, joining us by phone. Well, we're going to talk about what's going on in state, the latest on voter integrity, and the latest on what's going on at the White House, the craziness that's going on right now. We'll do that and more coming up, live and local now. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.